Tonight, be back with you in one of the last services you'll have in this building. So, amen on that. So, we've been praying and watching on Facebook and following the progression and everything, and praise the Lord for what He's going to do. And by faith, we just trust the Lord He's going to grow the church even further. Amen. You know, we've talked a couple of times that we've been here. You're just maxed out, really. You know, we remember last time Brother Tony came and preached, and the choir, I think, had to stay up here. So praise the Lord for the room to grow and everything. But I do want to say thank you so much for your financial support, but more so your prayer support. That's what is key, and that's what is where the real power is. And that's what keeps the missionaries there and keeps us going and provides. And needs come up and things arise that we don't even know about, but God knows, and He already knows how to take care of those needs. And we thank the Lord for His provisions and for your prayers and your last time we were here, I guess it was about 2.5 years ago, I think it was, and we were preparing a Christian school in Lawrence, South Carolina, had closed down and given us a lot of their furniture and supplies, and we were preparing to ship a container, and you all gave a generous love offering towards that. And little did I know how I thought we had all the expenses taken care of, and I thought, well, we could use this to do extra things or whatnot or whatever. But little did I know that would be the right amount that would need to be to take care of extra customs and expenses that I didn't know about. So, God, this prayer thing and this faith thing, it really works, doesn't it? You know, God knows what He's doing. God knows what He's doing. So. So thank you so much, and I wish you all, well, I do, I extend an invitation to every single one of you to come to Haiti and see.
We come.
And, yep, we're leaving a week from Monday. We're leaving a week from Monday, so you all can come and join us if you want to, but I think it'll just be me and my family, probably. So, but anyway, you all, you would be delighted to see how the ministry has really grown. It has really grown faster than we ever expected. It has expanded in ways that we never imagined, and only to the glory of God. And we praise the Lord for how He's working. We really are in need of laborers to come and help in the ministry. That's another thing you can pray for. Provisions for things going along, but for laborers to come alongside and help, because, like I said, it's growing so much. We currently have right at 500 students in the schools. Wow. Our junior high is going to go to ninth grade this year. The deaf ministry is growing. So let's see. Since I was here last time, we have built two buildings. We have turned a church over to the National that we trained through the Bible College and discipled for 7 years. We started and expanded the junior high school. We also started 9 Faith Promise Missions programs at 9 different churches. We have started 6 deaf ministries at 6 different churches. Put interpreters there. We've trained right at 150 hearing people in some different levels of sign language. We started the deaf school. We have all kind of stuff going on, and we're tired. So so we came back to kind of take a little bit of time off, then had some family problems with my dad and some medical issues. But so we'll be going back a week from Monday to get all the schools up and starting, do the week of teacher training, and then get everything settled, and then we'll fly back here to the States because my son's getting married in October. So we'll be back for that, and then finish up our traveling. We'll be take a quick trip out to Memphis, and then go back and be in Maryland and then some other churches. But it's just amazing to see the transformation in some of the lives of the people. It is some of the most rewarding things that we've seen has been through the deaf ministry. You know, the deaf, there's 70 million deaf in the world. It's the largest unreached people group in the world. And so we found a few deaf. We started working with them. Of course, now, understand, most of us understand their sign language and everything, but in Haiti, they had no idea there was sign language. These deaf had no communication skills whatsoever. Many of them were very barbaric in the way that they lived because they could not communicate with their family, and they were taken advantage of and, you know, treated terribly by some of their family members. And so we began working with them one day a week and teaching them basic signs and basic communication skills and trying to teach them to sit for a, you know, short period of time. And that was 3 years ago we started that. And now today they actually can have complex conversation with you, carry on a basic conversation with you. And it's just amazing to see the progression and the growth in those students. And to see, you know, to teach them, you know, the sign for rice, you know, corn, beans. These things are concrete. You can see them. But what is the difference between this book and this book? You know, any other book. Why are the signs different? So to try to tell them this is the Word of God, this is the Holy Scriptures, it's very difficult to get them to understand that. Faith, hope, these types of things are difficult to teach them. And we pray that God continues to help them in their understanding as we endeavor to work with them. Something that fell in our lap, we didn't really expect this, but we were traveling 3 hours away to a church to do the Faith Promise Missions Program to get that started at the church. And come to find out, it was in a little bit larger city, and right on the border of the Dominican Republic and Haiti. And so the pastor, we said, well, you know, do you think that maybe we could send a couple of interpreters up here and see if there are any deaf people? And he got excited. He put announcements on the radio. He got really behind this really well. And they had about 30 deaf coming, some coming across the border, because in the Dominican, nobody was reaching them over in the Dominican Republic. And they got word down over in the Dominican, they actually had some pretty good sign language skills. And so they were actually, every Saturday, they come to a class, and they come across the border, they go back home, they come back on Sunday for church, and so they're reaching basically two countries through that one church there. And so they just finished. We had worked with a young man, two young men, and they went and did a sign language class for hearing people. And so our goal is to... And working through the local church, understand, the local church, I believe God's ordained the local church to reach the world, and we can have many, many different tools to that, but we're wanting to put some interpreters in different churches all around. There's no way that I can go to all those places. You know, if I could be in more places than once, you know, one place, that'd be great. I'm not omnipresent. If so, I'd be at home in the bed, you know, taking a nap, you know, while we're here, you know what I'm saying? Because I didn't get a nap this afternoon, but we can multiply and work through the Haitians. And I'll be honest with you, no matter how well I learn the language, no matter how well I learn the culture, I'll never be as effective as one of their own reaching them. So that's our goal. That's our whole thrust. And I believe that's what the Apostle Paul did as well. So We started working with that and expanding that in those areas to reach those deaf people. And it's they might only have one or two, but Jesus died for them just as much as he died for hearing. And that's what the message we're trying to get to them. The Haitians, this is the way it is in a lot of third world countries, anyone with a handicap, they shun them, they're worthless, that's what they see them. But Jesus died for them just as much, and that's the message we have to get to those people. And they see the love that we have for them in treating them just like other people. You know, we had the, it would be kind of like the equivalent of, I guess like a lieutenant governor. And we had the mayor, and we had the chief of police, and we had a judge, and all come to the school because no one had ever seen the school there. You know, they'd never seen a deaf school. And so we had them all come and invited them to come and see the school and everything. And they said, oh, that's good. You can have them in here, everything. And we had the students go to the board and write their, the deaf students go and write their name. And they said, they can write? And then he signed a sentence to her, and she went and wrote that on the board. And he said, I didn't know they could learn. And these are educated elected officials, like the lieutenant governor, the deputy is appointed, and that's the mentality. But what's happened is because we have put that there, the people in the communities have begun to learn sign language, and now they are communicating individually, and they're getting their understanding. They have worth. We had a lady that had a 16-year-old boy. She called him Deaf Boy. And when we said, well, what's his name? She had to go get a birth certificate to remember what his name was. But Jesus knows his name. Jesus knows him and loves him. Now, Fritz Meyer has not come to Christ yet, but we believe Jesus loves him just the same, and we keep on working with him, and one day he's going to come to Christ. And so we praise the Lord for how he's growing the church planting ministry. I tell you, you know, the power of the gospel is an amazing thing. It is an amazing thing. I know you've seen this when you've preached before. Those of you that hadn't been up here when you're preaching. You know, when we preach, sometimes we'll mention something, a sin or something like that, and we'll actually see their people's face change. And the same token, when you lead someone to Christ and they get saved, you notice it right away.
Amen.
And it's a blessing. And the power of the gospel can change lives. There's no 5-point program. There's no humanistic philosophy that can make an eternal life change like that. And we've seen it over and over. We've seen the gospel, only the gospel of Jesus Christ can take a witch doctor's son, save him, let him go through Bible college, and him become a pastor of a church, and then lead his mother to Christ.
Amen.
You know, praise God. Amen. And that's happened. We were able to work with him for 7 years and disciple him. And he had gotten saved under some other missionaries. And this is what's happened. You know, we have to disciple. That's one of the things Jesus said, remember? He said, make disciples. 5 times in the gospel, and 1 in Acts. 4 times in the gospel, 1 in Acts. He said, go and tell them. And he said, give them the gospel. And he said, disciple, make disciples. And so what's happened over the years, missionaries had gone there. Evangelistic teams had gone there. They had seen people saved. Then they left.
Yeah.
And then what'd Satan do?
Yeah.
Throws in that false doctrine.
Yeah.
And it got them all confused. And they're very religious people, by the way. But now you have people that have taught things and they think they can get baptized to wash their sins away. They think they can join a church and that's their way to heaven. They think they can work. And so you have to take the gospel, the Bible, and go back and say, what does it say right here?
Amen.
Now, thankfully, Haiti has the Bible in their own language. You know, some countries don't have a Bible in their own language. But Haiti does, and I can take that Bible. It's, a lot of people can't read, but some can. And I can show them in their own language what the Bible says. And some people say, well, I've never seen that before. You have pastors that are pastoring a church. Get this. There was a pastor. His name was Pastor Wilney. He was pastoring a church. He could not read or write. Now, can you imagine his doctrine was a mess?
Yeah, couldn't read the book
either. He couldn't read. And he carried a Bible, but he couldn't read. And his doctrine was a mess. I said, Pastor Wilney, what do you believe about salvation? He says, well, every time you sin a big sin, you have to get saved again.
Yeah.
And I said, well, what's a big sin?
Yeah.
You know, who qualifies that? You know, who's to say what's a big sin? You know? So, and I showed him through the scriptures, but he wouldn't listen. He wouldn't listen. He was very, very proud and this kind of thing. But some will. And those are the ones we try to work with. You know, some will, some won't. It's the same thing. You share the gospel. You know, you come in contact with people every day. And you share the gospel with them. Some will accept Jesus Christ. Some will listen to you later. Some won't. But that's not a sign to stop.
No.
We have to keep on because that is what's going to change lives. That's what's going to fill pews. You know, you talk about politics and everything, but, you know, that's not going to change America. You know, it's in the house of God, in the home, but it starts in our heart, too. But that's the power of the gospel, and we have that power to change lives right here, and we have to share that. So I encourage you to share the gospel, and I appreciate you, allowing us to be your arm in the country of Haiti. You will not see some of these people until you get to heaven. But I want you to know that your prayers are so very important to me and my family and to the Haitian people and to the ministries we have there. And the financial support is a true blessing. And we just thank you so much. And I can't wait to see you in your new building when we come back. You'll be in the new building. And then you won't have the homecoming upcoming. So then maybe that's when we can schedule you a trip to come to Haiti, and we can have the whole church come at one time. And
so,
that's right. Get a discount, and we can fly you. We fly on DC-3 cargo planes. How many's ever seen the Indiana Jones movie?
Yeah.
That's the kind of plane we fly on. That's it. It's always you can go on there. All your cargo stacked up on one side, and your seats are on the other. I carry my knife with me on there. They're missionary pilots. They pray before we take off, you're flying under 10,000 feet, so it's unpressurized, and you get up, walk around. You can go sit up there with the pilots. Actually, they have a jump seat up there. You can go sit up there. So hey. You know, it's an exciting time. You never know. You never know. So, anybody have any questions right quick? I know sometimes people have questions. Well, we'd love to talk with you if you have any questions or anything. We'll be glad to answer them. If we don't know the answer, we'll make something up and you'll never know the difference. This is my wife. I have my wife and my daughter. We're dwindling down on kids the older we get. My wife and I just celebrated our 23rd wedding anniversary, and I praise the Lord. It's been a wonderful training program she's had me. I mean, marriage that she's had me. But we praise the Lord, so we'd be glad to talk with you after. I see some new faces. I see some old faces I recognize, and we'd love to speak with every single one of you. So thank you. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Oh,
give me my mic.
Yeah.
You know what I like about him? He's a worker.
Amen.
Bible says, man don't work, he ought not eat. He's a worker. I see those pictures, brother. He's a worker. He gets his hands dirty. I like that. I remember after he got saved and would come to camp, he'd work. I like that. Amen? And I can't stand a lazy preacher. I couldn't imagine a lazy missionary, though I know there are some.